Thank you for listening to the Pursuit Church podcast. This is more than a podcast. Pursuit Church is a movement to connect to Jesus and make a difference. If you need prayer or would like to financially support our mission, reach out to us online at pursuitchurchsa.com. Now grab your headphones and get ready to dive into this week's message.
This morning has been a morning in my house, in the Stephen household. I had almost had a panic attack, y'all. Your pastor is not perfect. I don't know why. I don't know what happened. I think the enemy was just telling me, "Nope, you're not gonna give this word today." And I'm like, "Oh, yes, I am." So you got to press back. Sometimes when the devil hits you, you got to push back, y'all. Happens to all of us. I want you to know that it happens to all of us. Okay. So a couple of weeks ago was Vision Sunday. And we shared with you, Pastor Bob and I shared with you kind of the direction that God had shared with us for our church in 2025, right? Now, our vision has never changed. That's the vision that God gave us for Pursuit Church, and that's to connect to Jesus and make a difference. That's never changed. But how we accomplish that will be different from year to year because God is always moving, right? And this is the year, 2025, that God has called us individually and as a church to become a living sacrifice for the Lord. Now, that's based on Romans 12:1, which tells us that in light of God's mercy, in other words, in view of all that God is and all that he's done and the mercy that he's given us, in light of that, we are to offer our bodies, every part of us, as a living sacrifice to the Lord, because that is the highest form of worship. In other words, if you really want to show devotion to God, you do that when you give or you sacrifice every part of your life to him, your desires, your dreams, everything. And it starts with salvation, right? We ask Jesus to come into our hearts and then we follow him. But to be able to truly follow Jesus, that means we need to learn about him, right? We need to learn about what he teaches us, how his life was here on earth. And then the second part of that is we put that into practice in our own life. We have to put it into practice. It's not just to get head knowledge, it's to get heart knowledge, to put it into practice. And that's what it looks like to become a living sacrifice. And as you're willing to sacrifice everything and anything that Jesus tells you to release to him, then you're making room for God to give you all that he has for you. You just have to remember, this is a process, y'all. This is not a one and done thing. It's a process. And it's a lifelong process, and it involves who we are and what we do. We are being and doing like Jesus. And this is important for you to remember, because here's the deal. If your being is messed up, then your doing will be too. If our hearts aren't right towards the Lord, if we're not truly following Jesus and following what he teaches, that's going to affect our doing. We'll find ourselves doing things with motives other than to honor God. We'll start doing things for God. Maybe we really believe we're doing it, not expecting anything in return. But you let something happen and things don't go the way you thought they were going to go, you stop doing. And you stop because you really were expecting something in return. Now, I hate to say it, but it shows up a lot in church, y'all. Hang on. I'm just saying, shows up a lot in church. Let me tell you what. Somebody will come into church, they get saved, they give their life to Christ. They mean it with their whole heart, start serving, get connected, make some friends. Maybe start giving into what God is doing in the church. And everything's all good, right? But let something happen. You find out real quick where people's motives are. Our own motives. We find out where our own motives are, right? If your heart is set on obeying God, in other words, your being is right, when someone in church tries to bring, maybe hold you accountable, maybe bring correction about something, or even just try to disciple you, you're not going to get offended. You're not going to start making excuses and recounting all the things you've done for the church or for this person or that person. You're not going to do that because you weren't doing it for anybody but God. Your motives were to bring God glory, giving everything to him. When our being is right, our doing is too. So we got to learn to be like Jesus and do like Jesus. And the best place to start is to look at who Jesus is. What are some of his characteristics and habits? You know, as I was preparing for this, I sat down at the table and I was like, okay, what is Jesus like? And I started writing things down. And I wrote this down. He's loving. Jesus is loving. He's kind. He's good. He's joyful. My mother-in-law gave my youngest daughter a picture, and she called it Laughing Jesus. It's a picture of Jesus laughing. Jesus is joyful. He's gentle. And Jesus is faithful, y'all. He doesn't change. And he finishes what he starts. He doesn't just quit in the middle of it when things get hard. And Jesus is peaceful. He's patient. He actually exudes self-control. He doesn't get all stressed out, worked up, all upset when things don't go his way or get hard. And I want you to see something about this. So open up your Bibles. Turn to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians is the New Testament. It's about halfway through. A friend of mine, this little old lady, she taught us one time the acronym GOP or GEP, Go Eat Popcorn. That's how you find Galatians. It's Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians. So Galatians is before those other two. New Testament. Are y'all there yet? Galatians chapter 5. We're going to start in verse 22. This is what it says. But the fruit of the Spirit, the result of his presence within us, is love, unselfish concern for others, joy, inner peace, patience, not the ability to wait, but how we act while we're waiting. Hello. It's kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And against such things, there is no law. In other words, you do all that, can't nobody tell you nothing. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And these describe Jesus because the Holy Spirit, God, and Jesus are one and the same. It's the triune God. So in order to be like Jesus, we have to cultivate the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our own lives. It's not hard. It's just a process. Think about a garden. Anybody in here like to garden and plants and stuff like that? Yeah. Think about a garden. What do? If you want to grow a garden, it's a process, right? First thing you got to do, you got to till the soil, break it up, get the rocks out, get the sticks, get all that mess out the grass, right? Out of the soil. That's hard work, and sometimes it leaves you sore, right? Yeah, sure. Then maybe you add some nutrients to the dirt. Maybe you got to add some more dirt. Then you plant the seed and you water it. After a while, something starts to grow. But as what you planted starts to grow, you're going to find some weeds are starting to grow. You got to pull the weeds out. More hard work, right? And then you're definitely going to have to add more water eventually, maybe even more dirt, maybe some more nutrients to the soil. And then there's going to come a time you get some fruit, it's growing, and you're going to have to prune back some dead stuff. More work. Cultivating a garden is a process, y'all. The same thing is true when it comes to cultivating a life of purpose, a life that is a living sacrifice to God. You got to let the word of God get down into your spirit, work some things out. It's going to be hard sometimes. It's not going to feel great sometimes. Bring in some truth, get some good stuff in there, and that's going to help you grow as a Christian. Yes. If you truly want to be like Jesus, you got to be willing to go through that process. It's a process. So we learn to be like Jesus, develop his character, and we learn to do like Jesus, develop some of his habits, and then commit to them. Yeah. Commitment is a big part of this, y'all. Amen. Nowadays, we seem to have a little trouble with commitment. Yeah. You got to commit to it. Jesus had a lot of good habits that he was committed to. But you know what? We're going to focus on five of them for the next few weeks. We're going to focus on five foundational habits that Jesus was committed to that are going to help us learn how to be a disciple of Christ. Learning to be a living sacrifice for God. And the first thing I'm going to share with you today is prayer. Jesus was committed to prayer. Amen. Amen. You may not realize it, and Pastor Bob said it last week, but prayer really is your greatest flex. As a Christian, that's your greatest flex. Prayer is powerful because prayer is the only thing that can change lives forever. Forever. Think about that. Think about it. Every single salvation story started with prayer. Every person that's ever given their life to God, they cried out to Jesus in a prayer, right? He heard them and he answered them and he saved them. And a lot of times there were prayers before that prayer was ever prayed, right? Maybe a mom, maybe your mama, maybe your grandma, maybe your aunt, a great aunt, maybe it was a friend. Somebody was probably praying for someone's salvation before they ever made that decision for Jesus. Prayer is a gift, y'all. It's a beautiful gift from God. And it's for everybody. Everybody. It's not just for believers. It's for everybody. But like any gift, if you're ever going to see the real value in it, you got to use it. And Jesus understood this, y'all. He knew the power of prayer. So Jesus was committed to prayer. And he wants us to be committed too. Remember, if your being isn't right, your doing won't be either. So in Matthew 6:9, there's a beautiful prayer. It's called the Lord's Prayer. This is a prayer that Jesus gave us because it sets our hearts right with God. Listen to it. Matthew 6, starting in verse 9. This then is how you should pray. That's Jesus talking. He's saying, this is how you need to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, in heaven, God's running things. His will is being done in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. This prayer teaches us a lot about how to become a living sacrifice for God. The first line of the prayer is acknowledging who God is. He's holy. Hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. And we're recognizing that when we pray that. Lord, we know you are holy. You are sovereign. You are God. Then you submit to God. That's worship, y'all. Humility, honor. We submit to God's will over what we want, right? Then we ask for and we submit to God's provision. We don't lean on what we know how to do to make things happen or to get what we need. No, no, no. We trust God for everything. And we do it every day, again and again and again. Then we ask for forgiveness. And we commit to walking in forgiveness towards others. And I got to pause on this part. Y'all probably knew I was going to pause right here. If you've ever had to forgive someone, you know how hard that is. That is impossible without Jesus working through you. It's counterintuitive. You know, we're not born being able to forgive people. That's why we need Jesus to show us and to help us do that. I get it. I struggle with some of the same things y'all struggle with. And this past week, I was wrestling with some stuff. Forgiveness. Forgiveness. The same old issue kept popping up. And this past week, here we go again. And I won't get into all the details, but I'm going to say this. Pastor Bob and I were asking for mercy about something. We reached out and we asked someone for mercy. It wasn't going to cost them anything. It was actually going to bless them. And it was going to bless them tremendously. And they said, nope, too bad, your problem. And then, I could deal with that. But then they doubled down and they threatened us. And when that happened, just know the devil's a liar. Because I had, oh, Lord, the devil starts whispering to me and I'm like, no, you're not going to take me back to my old hood rat ways. We're not doing that. We're not doing that. I had to hit my knees in prayer, y'all. Yes. Yes. And for the next day or so, I just kept taking it back to God, going back to God. And I asked him, God, you need to show me what in the world is this? What is happening here? Why are these people doing this? And then I started looking in the Bible for answers. If I don't understand something, I'm going to the book. Yeah. I'm going to the Bible. So I'm going through the Bible and Matthew 6:12 came across my eyes and it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So I'm thinking, okay, this person owed us a debt of mercy and they're not going to pay it. So I'm just going to forgive my debtor, right? But this time, that didn't sit right with me. And it didn't have anything to do with the forgiveness. It just didn't sit right with my spirit. I felt like there was more to it than that. So I kept going back to God, asking him, what am I missing here, Lord? Why is this not sitting right with my spirit? And the Holy Spirit showed me that I was looking at this person as if they were a believer, as if they were going to show mercy. I was expecting them to act like a believer, right? That's not what was going on here, y'all. Because when they refused mercy and then they doubled down and threatened us for even asking for it, that showed me all I needed to know. They're not a follower of Jesus. I was expecting them to give me something they're not able to give. They don't even understand the concept of mercy. And y'all, that made me sad. It made me sad because I realized these people are lost. They don't even know about the mercy of God. Wow. How are they going to be able to show me mercy? They don't even know what mercy is. Y'all, there are lost people all around us. They're dying. They're headed to hell. We got to get them on the path to life. We got to point them to Jesus. We got to get busy being like Jesus. That's the only way we're going to point them to him. Y'all hear what I said? We can't be sitting up in here feeling some kind of way about somebody, the way they acted towards us. We got to be like Jesus, y'all. We got to release them to God and we got to love them right where they are. It's not about what they did. Sometimes they don't even know. We got to be like Jesus. You know, Romans 8:12 says that we don't owe anybody anything but to love them. Look back at Galatians 5:22. What does it say that love is? It's an unselfish concern for others. You ain't got to be their best friend. You don't got to be their best friend. You just have to love them. You have to have an unselfish concern. When all that went down, y'all, the devil was tempting me not to love these people. But this prayer that Jesus gave us says that we can love our enemies. We can love those who hurt us. This is what it says. It says, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. A lot of people get that mixed up. They think that says something it doesn't. This isn't telling us to ask God not to tempt us. God doesn't tempt us. That's what the devil does. That's right. That's right. This prayer is telling us that God is not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. When you're mistreated, the devil's going to get in your ear. Yeah. I promise you that. He's going to start whispering you, tempting you to get back at that person, but you cannot fall for that. Right. Don't do it. Instead, you hit your knees and you ask God to help you either respond well or don't respond at all. Sometimes that's the best thing to do. Don't say nothing. Prayer is a powerful flex, y'all. That's how you can beat the enemy at his own game. Jesus knew that our being is tied to our doing, and prayer is what ties them together. Because you know what? The purpose of prayer is not to change God's mind. It's to change our hearts. When our hearts are right towards God, then what we do is going to have a kingdom impact, y'all. And this is why we can't be going to God all the time with this long laundry list when we're praying. I mean, it's okay. Bring your needs and your desires to the Lord. That is absolutely what he wants. Bring your needs to the Lord. But you got to be careful if you go in every time with some kind of an agenda. Yeah. Even when we're praying for other people, we can't always be going to God with an agenda. What if we flipped it and prayed, God, I love you. I'm coming before you. Just speak to me. Yeah. Speak to me, Lord. And then you stop and you actually listen for what he wants to say. There's a reason God gave us two ears and one mouth. Years ago, I was dealing with something, and I was just travailing before the Lord. That's a fancy church word, travailing. I was just going back to God, Lord, Lord. I was going back, and I was just talking and praying and talking and talking and talking. I was even quoting the scripture back to God, right? I'm like, God, you said, and I believe it, so let's go on, let's do this, come on. And I got a lot about it now because I'm pretty sure God was amused. He's probably like, girl, you need to stop talking. Just be quiet. That's not easy to do, y'all. Especially if you get a little scripture under your belt, you start to know the word of the Lord. Right away, Lord, your word says, and you start quoting it back to him. And that's okay. I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because you know what? Psalm 103:20 says the angels rally to perform God's word. The angels do God's bidding, and God's bidding is his word, right? So it's not a bad thing to bring scripture into your prayers. In fact, I encourage you to do that. But just remember, two ears, one mouth. Prayer is a conversation, and all good conversations, they're a dialogue, not a monologue. Come on, that's so good. Lay out your petitions before the Lord, and then ask God to speak to you. And when you do that, God will give you revelation. Jeremiah 33:3 is one of my favorite scriptures. I say it every week, but that's a good one. It says, call to me, call to God, will answer you, and I will show you great and hidden things that you have not known. This means when you're willing to call upon God and then actually listen to him, he's going to give you revelation knowledge, things you have not known. He'll show you something, maybe explain something to you, and it's going to be a game changer in your walk with Jesus. Amen. God is speaking all the time, y'all. We got to be quiet in order to hear what he's telling us. Because let me tell you something, most of the time, God's got something to tell us that's going to help us, that's going to teach us, that's going to draw us closer to him. This is exactly what happened this past week. I told God what I had to say, and I had a lot to say. I told God everything. And then I asked him, Lord, speak to me. What do you have to say? Show me what I'm missing. And I got quiet, and I waited, and I waited. And I waited some more. I was burning a pile of wood. Wood I paid a lot of money for, but we're not going to talk about that. I was burning a pile of wood in the backyard. And I was like, okay, Lord, I need you to speak to me. And I was just staring into the fire. And it's like the Holy Spirit just spoke to me down in my heart. And it changed my heart, y'all. That's the purpose of prayer. It's not necessarily to change God's mind. It's to change our hearts so that we can learn to be like Jesus. And Jesus was committed to prayer. Jesus understood that prayer strengthens you. Jesus prayed all the time, y'all. All the time. Luke 5:16 says Jesus would withdraw to desolate places. That's somewhere where nobody else is. And he would pray. Luke 3:21 says that when Jesus was baptized, he was praying. He was praying. This is important, y'all, because you know what? Jesus was baptized right before he began his public ministry. He knew he was going to have to deal with some stuff. Rejection, hurt, persecution, being misunderstood, mistreated. And the Bible tells us when he was baptized, before he began his ministry, he was praying. No doubt he was asking for wisdom and strength. Jesus was man. He's God in flesh. So he was praying as an example because he knows prayer strengthens us. When you've got something hard, when you're facing something hard, or you're dealing with something you just don't know what to do, the smartest thing you can do is hit your knees and cry out to God before you ever make a move. As a matter of fact, before you do anything, take it to the Lord. A lot of problems could be solved or even avoided if we pray before we do stuff, y'all. Prayer should be our first response, not a last resort. And the reason why is because prayer aligns your heart with God's. All throughout his ministry on earth, Jesus got alone to pray to God. To talk to his Father. God is our heavenly Father. Matthew 14:23 says that Jesus had been ministering to crowds of people, y'all. And when he was done with all that, he went off somewhere alone to pray. I get that. As a pastor, I know why Jesus did that. Ministering to others takes a lot out of you spiritually. We have people that pray with people after service. They are pouring out into others. That takes a lot out of you spiritually. And when I'm up here preaching, when I'm done, I got to get along with God. I got to let him recharge me. Let him strengthen me again. I get strength through prayer. Prayer gives us strength, y'all. Brandon, if you'll come. You know, my several decades on this planet, we won't say how many, but it's been a bit. In all the trials, all the struggles, all the messes I've got myself in, messes people drug me in all of that, prayer has always, always given me strength, y'all. And let me tell you this, even when I didn't have a relationship with God like that, when I was wilding out doing whatever I was doing, I was running from God. Even then, I knew prayer was how I was going to reach him. Yes. Have you ever been in a hole so deep you didn't think you'd ever get out of? Come on. You can pray to God. Yes. It doesn't matter who you are. You could pray to God. And I learned that actually as a kid in church listening to the Easter story, y'all. Think about the Easter story. When Jesus was about to face a torturous, agonizing death on the cross, what did he do? He got alone, alone in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he prayed. And you know what? As he hung on that cross, the very last thing Jesus did, what was it? He prayed. Jesus was committed to prayer, y'all. And he showed us by example all throughout his ministry on earth. He gave us an example of just how powerful prayer is. It changes our hearts and it strengthens us. Prayer is a beautiful gift, and it's a free gift from God for everyone. Doesn't matter who you are, where you came from, or what you've done. Pray to God. He's listening. You know, life is short, y'all. We got to remember that. And the older I get, the more I realize life is really short. I have buried friends and family, friends I went to school with, and I'm like, wait, what? Life is short. You know, this past week, 7 years ago, this past Saturday, my best friend, she was a mighty woman of God. Man, she was a prayer warrior. She was something else. She died suddenly and tragically, y'all. And the way all that went down, man, that left me with so many questions to God. I saw her 2 days before she died, and I didn't know that was going to be the last time I'd ever talk to her. Life is short, y'all. Again, this week, a friend of mine, his mom suddenly passed away. I mean, he knew his mom was sick, but I don't know if that made it much easier when she did pass. But I know one thing, prayer brought him strength. We prayed with him. Prayer brought him strength. The hard things of life, they're just more bearable with God. Yeah, I think I will. The hard things of life, the stuff you don't think you can handle, you can't, my friend. You need Jesus to walk with you through that. Cry out to God. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you were doing when you did it. Cry out to God. Prayer gives us strength. Whatever you need, whatever you don't understand, whatever happened, reach out to God in prayer because God wants to hear from you. Even if you don't have all the answers, or even if you don't get the answers you're looking for, when you reach out to God in prayer, your heart will be changed and you'll find strength for whatever you're facing. Will you bow your heads? Lord, I thank you for your word. Holy Father, I thank you for who you are. I pray that your word will just land in our hearts today, Father, and change us forever. I thank you for the truth of your word. We love you, Lord. We worship you. We praise you for who you are. You are sovereign. You are holy. And you love us so much, God. You have such a plan and purpose for all of our lives, Lord. And we thank you for that. And I pray that your word changes us, that it moves us and shapes us to be and do like Jesus. In Jesus' name.
Let's just stay in this moment of prayer a little bit longer. Keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you will. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. Today. And if you need a Savior, Jesus is right here, right now, waiting to hear from you. You know, maybe you've given your life to Jesus and you got off track. Maybe you're not walking where you want to be walking anymore. You kind of, something happened and you're struggling and you're off track and you're struggling to walk out that relationship with God. I pray God strengthens you. I pray God speaks to you, draws you back to Him and strengthens you, and that He fills you with His Holy Spirit so that you can be and do like Jesus. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, if you really don't even know Him, but you want to know Him, if you feel the Holy Spirit calling you right now, maybe something's tugging on your heart, that is the Holy Spirit drawing you into Jesus. If that's you, today is the day of salvation. Jesus is calling you. He's calling you into a relationship with God. And it's not about performance. It's not about being perfect. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't even matter what you did on the way to church. Today is the day of salvation. And if you're ready to let go of that and walk with Jesus, right now you can have a new start. The Bible says when we give our life to Christ, we become a new creation. It's not an improvement. It's a new person in Jesus. Whether you've gotten far away from Him or you want to start with Him, right now, all you have to do is pray a simple prayer. And we're going to pray it with you. Pray it out loud. Mean it with your whole heart. And today is the day of salvation for you. Just pray this after me. Lord Jesus, I repent of my sin. I've been doing things my way way too long. I ask You to forgive me and wash me clean. I want You to be my Lord and Savior. I surrender every part of my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.